There's no requirement on any stakeholder to inform us when a strike notice is issued. But what we do is we monitor our unresolved wage disputes and we actively pursue this to ensure that Section 150 offers of assistance are made to parties. And generally, which you can see, that rate of the 83% on your Section 150 ranges between 83% and in some instances over the year to 89% of those matters being resolved, because we actively pursue it. We keep parties in process to ensure that we mitigate or we reduce any incidents of strike activity. The CCMA also has gone relatively far further as well, is that in the odd incidences of unprotected industrial action, whereby we may not necessarily condone that because it hasn't followed the legal prescripts, we still ensure that we try and support those parties to try and ensure people get back into work and a normality can be restored in those particular environments. So that's on the wage-related matters. Okay. But over the year, the number of wage-related matters to the CCMA, potentially strike-related, over the past 3 to 5 years, has been in the region of 4,500 to 5,000 wage disputes that gets referred to the CCMA across the country. Now, in terms of the national minimum wage, okay, and I've just got more recent figures that basically takes us, okay, from the period January to more or less the end of July, which I can share with you, okay, there has been an increase in that it started off very, very slowly on the initial, for the first 3 months, on the implementation of the national minimum wage. We saw roughly a strike hike in our crease load of about 5 to 7% about any matters related to the national minimum wage, be that in terms of outstanding monies, in terms of the basic conditions of employment, in terms of underpayments, etc. We've seen roughly it started out at between 5 to 7%, right? But up and between the period January to the end of July this year, we've seen an increase in our referrals with regard to the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, right, and the National Minimum Wage in the region of about 14,000 matters coming through to the CCMA, and that's roughly an 11% hike on our referrals to the CCMA with minimum wage and basic conditions of employment with a new jurisdiction afforded by that to the CCMA. Okay? Right. Just going to slide 3, and I think reference was drawn to the one target that we've indicated that we did not receive, that we did not achieve regarding the number or the percentage of matters scheduled within a period of 30 days. Let me just find that slide. Okay, there we go. Now, sorry, just with regard to this, we set ourselves a target that with all matters referred to the CCMA in terms of our statutory obligation for conciliation, all right, is that all these matters at the first event or the first process of conciliation from the time we had received of the matters being referred to the CCMA, this should be scheduled within a period of 30 days. Later on in the slide in the dashboard, you can see that most of our conciliations are actually scheduled within 24 days. But we've set aside a target of 98% of all registered cases with their first event heard within a period of 30 days. The way we drafted this target a few years ago, and in the last year of our strategy, is that this should have, in fact, reflected all conciliable cases, matters that can be conciliated, because we've recorded this as any registered case, but all registered cases do not necessarily, okay, be conciliated at the CCMA. For example, if you bring a retrenchment dispute, a large scale, it gets scheduled for facilitation and not necessarily conciliation. We've gone to the point of correcting the wording of this particular target and also enhancing our case management system to record and measure that target on matters that can actually be conciliated. But so, in terms, we've indicated that whereas we set ourselves a 98% target, there was a slight problem in the wording of that technical indicator that 88% of all matters referred to the CCMA are in fact dealt with within a period of 30 days for the first event. In fact, we are referred to the conciliation of these matters. It's a turnaround time of 24 days that these matters are actually heard. And there's a number of reasons for that as to why we try and bring it forward as well. And if I give you the example is that, and this is not mentioned in this presentation, is that the CCMA, in terms of contributing to issues around employment, etc., is that in dismissal methods, we try and fast track those particular methods because we've got a dedicated focus to pursuing what we call a return to work outcome. That's a reinstatement or re-employment outcome rather than a compensation outcome. So out of our matters, we try and ensure that there's many of those employees that are dismissed. And in the shorter period, if we can schedule that and deal with it within that 30-day period, there's a stronger likelihood that we can convince those employers to take those employees back into work as to simply settling for a compensation outcome, which gives you a very, very short-term relief to try and ensure people stay in employment. The number of referrals, and my apologies, allow me just to correct that. When you look at the figure, that was on slide, sorry, in terms of the dashboard, it was on slide 9 that reference was drawn to. On 193,732 cases were referred to the CCMA. My humble apology, that was an annual comparative to the previous financial year. But be that as it may, I do have the figures. It was just an illustration to show that over compared to the previous financial year, our caseload has in fact gone up. But in terms of the fourth quarter, it was roughly in the region of about 51,000 matters over the fourth quarter that has been referred to the CCMA. So my apologies and correction for that. That's the top item on that particular slide. So the 193,000 is actually annual number of cases that has been referred to the CCMA over the past financial year. And my apologies, and allow me to correct that. Okay. But while I'm on that, we just received the review statistics. For the fourth quarter, right, the CCMA has received a number of 318 in that region review applications. All right. The number of matters successfully reviewed are very, very minimal. They range between 5 to 7%, and even lower if I recall correctly. Right. Unfortunately, with the 320 reviews, is that because it's referred in the fourth quarter of this, that's the last financial year, which is the period between January to March, we can't even give an indication of the success rate of those particular reviews where the people have successfully reviewed CCMA Commissioner Arbitration Awards, because more than likely with the Labour Court, we probably have some indication 18 to 24 months with due respect down the line, unfortunately. But going forward, we can maybe in previous quarters, or maybe even going back a year before then, give you some indication as to the successful reviews against the CCMA. But our indication is that the numbers have been very, very few. Okay, coming to the arbitration turnaround time, right? The law requires that an arbitration gets referred to the CCMA, okay, within a period of 90 days after a certificate of non-resolution has been issued or after 30 days has expired. We've set ourselves our own target to try and ensure, and similarly in terms of how we're trying to ensure people get back into work, we've set ourselves our own target of trying to dispense with that arbitration within 60 days of the matter being referred to the CCMA. But as can be gleaned over the past financial year, the caseload has increased slightly at the CCMA, and that's why you've seen our target of 60 days been stretched out to slightly over the 60 days as well, which is within 60 days that the arbitrations have been finalized with and dispensed at the CCMA. But similarly, there's a reason for that. We also encourage and try and give effect to the prime remedy in terms of the Labor Relations Act. We try and encourage within that period of 60 days when an award is issued to try and ensure that most of those outcomes are either result in reinstatement once again or re-employment to try and get people back into work. And if we fast-track that, hopefully, we hope that businesses or companies that have dismissed those employees will honor those arbitration awards and take people back into work, and with that period hopefully would not have filled those particular positions. Now, going forward, we're going to measure how many arbitration awards actually result in a reinstatement of the employment. But let me just indicate to you, on our settled cases at conciliation within 30 days, right? 14% of those dismissal cases that are conciliated result in someone being taken back into work in reinstatement or re-employment outcomes. And we're still trying to drive that. A few years ago, it went as high as 18%, but maybe in our current economic times, it drops slightly to 14%. But we still have a dedicated focus to ensuring that people try and get back into work. Okay. I think I've discussed the 83% on the Section 150 settlement rate, but maybe let me just assure you that more often than not, because the CCMA monitors your unresolved or potentially strike-related matters, that we pursue those matters very, very actively and ensure that we have follow-up processes with those parties to try and resolve incidences where strikes have already occurred. And I may say this, but I don't have the actual figures, and I'm going to say this, is that I think that we need to start projecting a very, very positive image. I think we know that there's a perception that the South African labor market might be seen to be strike-prone. I, on my side, and having monitoring this area of work, I don't think we are strike-prone as it is made out to be, perhaps in the media or so, is that if we sit and we speak now, and I would ask any member, can you recall offhand any two or three strikes that are currently underway? You'd probably struggle to share that with me. So all good is that parties as well, and we've seen it from both businesses and labor, are remaining in process to try and find meaningful solutions through collective bargaining as well. So there is a positive indication there. Our latest settlement rate on wage-related disputes has increased. It's in the region of 64%. That partly attributed to the changes in respect of collective bargaining, etc. Now, coming to the job saving stats, okay, is that, let me first indicate this. If you look at our statistics and you look at what's presented by job losses by Statistics South Africa, for example, the numbers are much higher, okay? Because we only record your large-scale retrenchment activity on matters that come through the CCMA, right? We've got a dedicated focus and in partnership with Productivity SA, working closely with the UI, working with other stakeholders to try and ensure that we try and save as many jobs as possible. Some of the numbers that have come through the CCMA for this past financial year, right, out of the number of large-scale retrenchment processes, close on to 38, just slightly over 38,500 employees were facing retrenchment, all right? The CCMA has managed to save jobs of close on to 16,000 of those employees facing retrenchment, right? And how we measure that retrenchment stat is that we generally look at the numbers of employees that are likely to be retrenched, all right? And then we look at those from that number that's been provided by us that either take packages through voluntary retrenchment and those that are forced retrenched, okay? And we add those two numbers and we subtract it from the number of employees that are likely to be retrenched, and that's how we get the statistic. The CCMA has set a target of saving 35% of jobs, of matters coming through the CCMA in retrenchment processes of employees facing retrenchment, and we've exceeded that percentage over this past financial year. But the one thing that I want to add, and it might be going into our new strategy as we're developing and preparing for that, the CCMA unfortunately has come maybe in some measure to sort of own or conceptualize this job-saving concept. But it requires multi-stakeholder, inter-ministerial intervention as well. So for example, if we know we're facing a company that comes through that's facing maybe competitive pressures due to perhaps cheap imports, we need to, for example, engage the Department of Trade and Industry to see how we can look at protectionist measures to try and protect our local industry as well. So going forward, we would look at expanding your stakeholder collaboration to ensure that we try and make sure that we devote as much time to mitigating the scourge of job losses in the country. Sorry, I'm just... Okay. I basically got a quick glimpse about the report at Treasury, but I haven't looked at it, so respectfully for now, I won't be able to just respond to that hurriedly. But maybe what we can do, and I know there was the one reference to bargaining councils, right, is that the CCMA also has a focus in the area of work where I'm involved as well to try and support your bargaining councils as best we can to ensure that bargaining councils are sustained, partly in terms of their dispute resolution functions, but also in supporting them in terms of the collective agreements. We know as well, yes, that there might be leaning in some councils deal with party-to-party disputes also, but there are sometimes challenges where those collective agreements are extended to non-parties as well, and then you tend to see more applications for exemptions where smaller businesses in certain councils cannot afford that. But we are in constant touch with bargaining councils to ensure that we try and support them. In some councils, but very, very few, there are some challenges to perhaps centralized collective bargaining, but we are engaging those councils constantly to try and work through some of the challenges that they face to ensure that operators who actually fall under that industry can comply with what's been agreed and negotiated in those particular industries. Okay. I think I partly mentioned the impact of the national minimum wage. We have seen a hike in those matters coming through, particularly on underpayments, on outstanding monies in terms of Section 73A of the Basic Conditions of Employment, and to ensure that we give effect to that as well. I think I've discussed very briefly the issue around reviews and given you a rough indication, but if I were to tell you the success rate, we probably have to go back 2 years to give you a proper figure as to how many CCMA awards have been successfully reviewed. When we look at the turnover of commissioners, I think I can say that I don't have the exact number. The turnover of CCMA commissioners are very, very few, or it's very, very low. What we also tend to do is there is an annual recruitment drive to ensure that we meet the numbers to actually deal with the growing caseload. And that's why you're seeing these turnarounds and you're seeing certain effect given to dealing with the disputes that's coming to the CCMA to ensure that we try and keep it within very, very short time frames to ensure that we're able to service the labor market as such. But our turnover is very, very low as far as commissioner staff is concerned. But maybe let me take it further as well. In terms of general HR practices as well, I do recall that our turnover generally of staff is very low and within the acceptable range. I think it's roughly in the region of between 3 to 7% on established HR practices. So there isn't a high turnover of staff. And I think that also goes down to the commitment and contribution, you know, of staff that have entrenched, you know, our contribution and delivery in terms of the labor market, in terms of our mandate and what we're trying to achieve as well. In terms of sector referrals, let me state this first, is that I don't have the initial, but I can give you an indication. Let me go to our retrenchment sector referrals. The highest number of retrenchments over the past financial year, okay, has been seen to be in the building and construction sector, okay, followed by mining, and then very small in terms of the information and technology center. Ironically, in this current financial year, but I'm just sharing this for information purposes, we've been seeing an increase in retrenchment activity in your information and technology sector, and that's probably going to issues that you heard in the media around the Standard Bank, MultiChoice, on all IT related that. Even though the numbers this year, so far, I know this is big talk, and let me allay some concerns or some fear about what's been said in the media and in the market, is that we know, and it's true, there has been an increase in large-scale retrenchment referrals to the CCMA, right? In certain months, those number of cases referred to the CCMA has also doubled. It is a concern in the labor market because a whole lot of businesses are facing those challenges. However, the actual number of employees that are actually affected or likely to be retrenched are slightly fewer than what we recorded last year or in the similar numbers. So we see more cases, but the numbers are actually not as many as those cases would somehow suggest they would be. So it's similar to the previous year's statistics at the same period last year. I'm going to ask my colleague, in case I've missed anything, and for the honorable members, if there's something or if there's a follow-up for clarity, but I think I've tried to cover some of the comments or clarity or questions as best I can. Oh, sorry, by the way, one last thing, Honorable Chair, is that generally it's a trend over the years at the CCMA. Your highest referring sectors to the CCMA generally reside within your retail sector, your private security sector. Those are generally your two highest referring sectors to the CCMA, okay, in terms of the number of cases coming through. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think I've tried to cover. Okay. So sorry about that.
Okay. So CCMA is Stan Medlek.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I will ask the CFO just to deal with the issue of the budgeting, and then I'll come in, then I'll hand over to Mr. CFO to continue.
Afternoon, Chair, afternoon, members, afternoon, Honourable Minister and colleagues. With regards to the question relating to our budgeting weaknesses, largely speaking there was a particular divorce from cash and budgets, primarily based on Section 53 of the Public Finance Management Act. That particular act says that if we would like to spend money, that money must actually be approved by our accounting authority and ultimately by the executive authority. Now, due to the changes of management that ED has spoken to, that particular application from an administration side was not put through. So as a consequence, what you had is we had cash in the bank to be able to settle that particular 5.4 odd deficit. However, because we did not do the application, we couldn't disclose it as such. These particular figures were the audited financial figures. So that would be the long and short of it, Chair.
Thank you very much, CFO. If I may just attempt to address some of the issues, and I think, Chair, I'll try and be as short as I can, but I think just to start, in terms of what NEDLAC stands for, National Economic Development and Labour Council, I think is important because the issue, it's in the name, that anything that has got socio-economic impact for South Africa needs to come to NEDLAC in terms of the protocols. Because you will note, Chair, that South Africa, through social dialogue, has and is developing and adopting laws, regulations, and international standards to promote decent work and address labor market challenges. We have four chambers, and all those chambers, anything that has got to do with socio-economic impact has to come to NEDLAC for discussion. So it's very, very important because we provide a social dialogue platform for those particular discussions. There's no any other place where those issues can be discussed but at NEDLAC. So it's very, very important. In terms of the slide four that I presented, Chair, you will notice there we tabulate exactly what we seek to achieve in terms of this platform. Strive to promote the goals of economic growth, participation in economic decision-making, and social equity. Seek to reach consensus and conclude agreement on matters pertaining to social and economic policy. Consider all proposed labor legislation relating to labor market policy before it is introduced to Parliament, just to mention a few. So if labor, business, government, or constituents have got any issues that needs to be discussed, they need to bring them to that particular platform. Now, in terms of the work that we've done, I think maybe, Chair, moving forward, because we've got four chambers and it's quite exhaustive, we will then provide that information per chamber in terms of what has taken place within that particular period. But in essence, if we spoke about, for example, national minimum wage, I think it is important to indicate that as much as the proclamation of the national minimum wage took place at NEDLAC level, the work does not stop there because social partners engage. For example, the issue of the enforcement strategy, for example, that was discussed between the inspection and enforcement and CCMA, continue to be discussed at NEDLAC in terms of ensuring that all social partners participate and ensure that it carries the mandate that it needs to achieve. So that work continues at that level. Similarly, to convening of the Job Summit, for example, the 77 projects in terms of the Job Summit agreements or the compact, those take place within the context of the Joint Technical Committee, which sits every month and reports to the Presidential Committee every quarter. So all social partners need to discuss and monitor the progress in terms of the implementation of those particular projects. So it's work that continues. So that's what keeps us busy. There's number of coordination that takes place there. There's number of reports. We just submitted a report to the President. There's a meeting that is sitting on the 2nd of September where these agreements will then be discussed and way forward map in terms of the creation of jobs, as much as we said, indirectly. So that is indirectly because every constituency is responsible for that task. Sovereign downgrade task team engagement, for example, any constituency that feels that has got a socio-economic impact on them, they bring it to NEDLAC. Respective ministers are invited to address those particular issues, similarly to the issue of ESCOM. So that's what keeps us, busy, Chairperson. I think that's basically, in a nutshell, Chair, if I can basically address it in the nutshell. But I think in terms of the nitty-gritty, Mr. Seyfried will then come in there and outline some of the task teams, the main core task teams, etc.
Thank you very much. As the government lead that is responsible, overly responsible, both for the CCMA and the NEDLAC, I think I want to raise two critical issues, Chair. You would have noticed that the work of both the CCMA and as well as that of NEDLAC deals fundamentally with one of the critical challenges of government that we have. That is in the notion of employment and the lack of employment in the country. Both these institutions, because of the workload and because of the increased work that they are required to do, are resource constrained. Unfortunately, we work within the fiscal envelope that we have, that government has provided, and we therefore wanted to make a plea to the portfolio committee in support of these organizations with respect to funding for the work going forward. The job loss interventions of the CCMA is not by accident. I think I need to point out that it is by design, that the CCMA and the job loss interventions that they do is critical in terms of Section 189 of the LRA and the work that they do, and the amount of jobs that are saved as a result of the intervention of the CCMA, the amount of hours worked and the amount of income that is saved by the CCMA in relationship to the interventions, both in terms of the strike activity in the country, are critical for the success of the economy of this country. So I think it's an important element, and I thought let me raise that point up front so that we are mindful of the role that both the CCMA as well as NEDLAC play within the context of employment. The second point I want to make is in a direct response to the question by Honourable Bachram in relationship to the work that NEDLAC does. So the ED, the acting ED, has touched on some of the issues, but I wanted to reinforce some of the comments that he's made. So the four chambers that NEDLAC is convened under is the labour chamber, which discusses labour policy. The economic chamber, which discusses economic policy and all its outreaches in the country, and all economic policy is in terms of the protocols and the law required to be tabled in NEDLAC, and therefore its engagement on those issues. ESCOM has a critical role to play in the economy, and therefore the role of NEDLAC and the impact that it has on the economy finds itself situated within the context and the domain of NEDLAC, primarily because of the fact that it has such an impact on employment going forward. So I think it's critical that we deal with these issues. When we deal with the National Health Insurance Scheme, when we deal with the restructuring of the employment tax incentive, as an example, which has been raised in the economy, it is critical that we debate those issues and the impact that is on employment, but specifically in relationship to youth employment. When we, for example, look to the national employment tax incentive in the country. So it's critical that we debate those matters at NEDLAC, specifically because of its implications on employment, but also on youth employment. Chair, I think I'll stop there going.
Can we then get to Productivity SA?
Thank you, Chairperson, and honourable members and minister. We take a note of the comment by Honourable Bahrain regarding the strategic role of a productivity centre in any economy. However, I think that links up to the issue raised by Honourable Nonchele regarding our funding model. The productivity, say, is a public entity, a Schedule 3A public entity, which is to be fully funded by government, although in terms of our legislation, we have an opportunity to can generate additional revenue, but at a minimal rate. Now, if you just look at slide 25, that slide actually begins to show the source of our problems. That the current funding structure is that we are being funded from three sources. the department, which is 66 million, unemployment insurance fund, which was supposed to fund us for 60 million, could only give us a budget of 1 million in this financial year. And then the DTI, which we are partnering in terms of implementing the workplace challenge program at the budget of 9.5 million. Now, if you look at those three, you can see that the department has fully dispensed what was due, as well as the DTI, and our problem lies with the unemployment insurance fund. Now, immediately that you have projected in a financial year to deliver on services, particularly on the turnaround strategies for companies facing economic distress at a cost of 60 million, immediately that no funding comes, you are just sitting in trouble. And we've been dealing with this matter for over almost 3 years now. So our position is this funding structure is untenable. It's not working. It has proved that it's not working to the extent that in our proposal to the department, it was that we should look at the entity being fully funded, and this matter has been seized with the minister. So there's appreciation of the fact that the funding structure should change, and it's just a question of when would we be able to see this action, but we're hopeful that in this financial year at least we'll get a resolution to this problem. And it's important that to share with the committee that if you look at the very same slide, we're talking about exchange revenue that we had planned to, at least from our own resources, generate 21 million. We could only afford 10. And the challenge there is precisely because we've got a high vacancy rate currently, just particularly in the service delivery program. We have over 28 vacancies. Now, it makes it very difficult for any entity to can function in that state of affairs. Thank you, Chair.
I think, DJ, before we give over to the Minister, is there anything that you would like to?
Sure, the only thing that I want to talk to is the issue of reporting and how we approach it. Just put it on record that we look at that and come up with the best way possible.
Thank you. Minister?
Different ways of doing that. One way is a variation by a way of a collective agreement. Secondly, it can be a variation by a way of the ministerial determination. And thirdly, it can be by a way of sectoral determination. So EPCA does allow for some flexibility in the arrangement of including the issues of the working hours between the employer and the employees. But there must be argument advance, reasons advance. And secondly, take the minimum wage, which people are starting to talk a lot. It does allow for flexibility for the employer that cannot afford to pay to apply for exemption. And the exemption process is specifically created for employers who can show that they cannot afford to pay that national minimum wage to the workers. So people must come with motivation and facts. You see, what we cannot agree with is to pass the laws. Before they are implemented, people are already calling a review because they are refusing to implement those laws. I'll leave it there. That's our preliminary response. But we are going to go into detail and respond appropriately. Thank you.
Okay.
I beg your indulgence and the indulgence of the committee. I think on the issue of the funding model for Productivity South Africa, may I please request that Mr. Protova gives more information to the PSA is linked to the portfolio. Just that part.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think that the funding model of the Productivity SA has a number of challenges, but there are also complex issues that myself and the Director General have been dealing with. And one would want to just put on record so that you understand some of the complexities that we are dealing with. And we have been seized with this matter to try and find a solution. I think the entity will acknowledge that we did our level best on the reserves, and we approached Treasury in the last 4 years to bail them out, supplementing their income. However, there's also an issue that we are also dealing with that has to do with the trade and industry, in that the program they are running is worth around 21 million or 23 million when the funding is below that. On the UI side, I think there are a number of complexities. One relates to an outstanding matter that has been going on that had to do with the mismanagement, not by the current board and the CEO, but the former CFO and the CEO of the entity who has since left the organization. And that is making it very difficult, Honorable Chairperson, because on our side, we also have the UI board that has entered into the fray, and it's an advisor to the minister on this matter. We believe it's an administrative matter, but once the board is also involved, they are also unfortunately impacting on our ability to resolve this matter, citing an initial issue. There's a matter that has to do with our staff that were tasked with the project that
were not very clear in terms of the functioning and the mandate. There was also an agreement that was entered that was found to have been very vague on some issues, and that has also led to the problem. And we have agreed with the DG that we needed to separate issues, issues around the legal matter that is pending, that needs to take its course, and that we also deal with issues of generation of income, but also issues of the treasury augmenting their funding. We all know that it's not easy. In fact, when we raised this matter with treasury, we're told, look, there is just no money. What we have done was to try and get them that additional funding from the UIF to augment their budget. But there are also issues that the DG has also put on record, that one of the things that created or contributed to the problem of the entity was the absorption of the large number of people that were on contract on permanent basis that were working on the NSF and the UIF project, and I think the board of the entity was also informed that whilst we are seized with this problem, there must also an internal introspection, and ourselves and treasury were also keen to assist them if it means that we have to review the structure and buy out some of the people because they were erroneously, or given the circumstances, they were absorbed. Those were some of the things we're prepared to do. So I'm just outlining to the committee that it's not a simplistic matter around funding. There are complex issues that are related that we are faced with, and we're hoping to do our best to resolve this matter. Certainly from our side, we've supported the entity to the best of our ability so that they can continue to do their work, and we're hoping that the other outstanding matters will be resolved. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, and thank you, Mitch, and the SCTG and the leadership of the entity that have made some presentations. I've been saying to the committee secretary, the sooner we have our strategic workshop is going to be very important, because I believe on for us to be able to provide leadership in terms of oversight and accountability in the department, is that we'll have to have a more broader and focused taken through on these issues, because we there are only two members who may be well versed, if I can make an example, about challenges in the sector in terms of its entities. Obviously, we can't sit and wait for that process. We are learning in the process, but as we are learning, we have to be more exposed to exactly what then are the challenges. It's worth that in the time in the country, the economic environment, politically and ideologically, is challenging, and it will then need members of parliament who are to up their game. And we can't up our game without being exposed to minute details within the sector itself, with the understanding that yourself, but we're activists, all of us, but we're activists that are to be that are to be taken through. Labor is about law. We must be in the same. That would be can't pronounce the same name. Mike is an advocate in the sector, in the space. But as a Bush advocate, I must be in the same path. And then we'll look into how best then do we deal with that. But thank you very much. Unfortunately, as we are to prepare, obviously you are coming back for the annual report. In between that, there's a debate on the 5th. I got a formal notice from the Office of the Speaker about employment crisis in the country. So we are in that space. There are too many. The talk, which is to be there because people are applying jobs, and when there are no jobs, we are going to have a challenge in the country. But as we are looking into that, there's a big monster, which unfortunately I was born before it, which is the fourth industrial revolution. The young ones are on top. What is the impact of that? The artificial intelligence. What's the impact of that to the current jobs and those that are? So I'm saying we are in that space, but being in that space, we will have to look. I said that yesterday. We're not going to always be referring to our past, but our past is going to enable us to move forward. It's going to enable us to move forward, draw lessons. Now there's the paper from Treasury. What really does that mean? So us being exposed to that paper and then being able to say, we think we are, these are the challenges that we are faced with. And I do think that and we're not in an island. There's trade and industry, there's basic education, there's higher education and training. We are in that, but we are expected. You said in CCMA, your motto is, how do we ensure that people go back to work? Is it easier said than done? And I do think that lastly, I do think that we will have to be looking into those things. But lastly, how do we ensure that workers understand their rights and their responsibility? Workers are not exploited by employers because they are ignorant. And there are different, there are those that are ignorant because they don't want to read. There are those that are ignorant because it is not of their own making not to be able to read and interpret. And all of us here have got that responsibility of ensuring that we whip those that think that to be a short steward is just you stand up and shout. We whip those. But we assist those that in different sectors, farming sector, retail, and those workers that are perishing, not because of their own, but because their employers have seen a loophole and taken advantage, and they've got a responsibility to defend, and we will do that. Come rain or shine. We will do that because the President of the Republic and the President of the African National Congress did say we will ensure that we improve the situation, jobs are being created. It is not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy. But as it is going to be difficult, we can never try and say we have to look into this law. We have to look into the law, as the minister has said, but look into what is it that we are given to ensure that there is relaxation. So I'm saying this because we are faced with a challenge, and I'm not going to be apologetic when we are to ensure that we reflect on these matters. It is not going to be easy. It can never be easy. The issue of jobs, it's a global phenomenon, youth and women. But I can never tell a person who stays in Khayelitsha that, it's a global, that our people are not interested in that. Our people are interested about how do I then get work, which is decent, which is able, which is going to be able to change my social conditions. And here we have got that responsibility. Yes, we've got political, our party's views, our views politically. But when we're here, we are to ensure. And if there is we see that we are not assisting one another, we may have to be, we don't want to say to be tough in one another, but we'll have to agree where we think that we disagree. We agree that here we are disagreeing, and here we will ensure that what Sona has been reflected to, well, you will have your manifesto, but we'll have to look into those, not for the benefit of anything, but for the benefit of ensuring that we change the social conditions of our people. And the Afghanistan Congress will never be apologetic about that. So I'm raising that because I want members to know that as we do our work, we will have to ensure that how then united as we are and together, we are to ensure that we travel this road. It is not going to be a difficult road, but I'm confident that with the political and ideological different views, we will be able to find a common agenda and a common space to say how best to ensure that. On a lighter note, Minister, I said yesterday, the department is talking to the DG reviewer. It's easy to go and speak with domestic workers, but have they ever called all of us, because all of us here are employers in that sense, but they did concede that there is quite a difficult. Stuck with you, all of us. So it is really. So we must really look into some of those things that. And as we are conducting, if you go to ShopRite, and you see that workers in ShopRite are not as a public representative, you have got that right. As a public representative. If you go to a hospital as a public representative, here in Parliament, as public representatives, we look into some of those issues without being hostile and arrogant, but being able to be. So, Minister and your team, thank you very much. We welcome when you always come and be part of the committee. It's something that we really appreciate. We know that you have got your department is seized with responsibility, but when an apology is is presented is fine. When you come, we do. I don't think we can be very hard to say we expect you to each and every portfolio sitting, but at least we can see now that you are 5 years is going to be quite a, and I hope that all of us, we are going to be. Now, thank you very much. It's like yesterday, in terms of lunch, you will pardon me. Our meeting is then adjourned until we meet again. Thank you. Yes.